Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 20th of May, 2022. I'm joined by Harry.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about Islam versus Progressives, round two. I can't start. Every time I say two, I have to do it.
You've got to.
Also, the English secession movement and Dem-on-Dem violence, which I thought we'd enjoy. Throwing money in the monkey ring as they all stab each other.
So, yeah, why not? Two retards fighting. Sounds good to me.
Best meme ever. But otherwise, we shall get into Islam versus Progressives, round two. So you may remember previously, Islam versus Progressives happened. It was between the BBC's representative calling up the new woke leader of, was it the Muslim Council of Britain? And they were like, why do you not have female imams? That's very unprogressive of you. And they lost. Like,
oh yeah, I do remember that actually. Yeah.
And the Progressives lost that one hard. They did not win that in the slightest.
Islam, shockingly enough, doesn't budge. Quite notorious for it.
No, although also these views apparently have nothing to do with Islam, of course. So we shall start off with something else that had nothing to do with Islam, at least in some people's views. So this is Lawrence Wright's The Looming Tower. I, of course, have the shill, being the road to 9/11, which has nothing to do with Islam. Let's go to the next one. So this is the link, obviously, about the story that we did previously, in which, all of a sudden, all the verified check marks came down on the side of Islam and saying Islam did nothing wrong. Women can't be imams because... So Islam is sacred, unlike every other religion, which can go to hell and should have women bishops. Or at least that was the opinion of all the progressives at the time. And Islam won, progressives nil, so far. And now we have round two. Mm-hmm. So if we go to the next one here.
It's quite the uneasy alliance, isn't it? It really is.
It's a beautiful alliance, because as soon as one wins, I mean, you realise that communism isn't halal, it's actually haram, so they'll have to go. In Iran, for example.
Well, I mean, the leftists at this point, the socialist types, the progressives are just useful idiots for these people, aren't they?
Yeah, but also Islam isn't very progressive, so presumably if the progressives actually won, like in the Soviet Union, they would just, do what they did in the Soviet Union to the Muslims as well. It's a very weird alliance where everyone put guns pointed at each other. But anyway, let's mention
for
here.
Mao.
This is Hobbit Day, I'm just going to call it, because I can't be bothered with this stupid hashtag anymore, that took place the other day, and as you can see, every Yankee institution in the world that's run by the American government decided to put out the racial pride flags and celebrates racial pride because, of course, if we go to the next one, we have, of course, Caucadia was not to be outdone. Not even going to bother reading this because the white noise that comes out of Shoe Polish Man is not worth reading. But he wanted to join in with Hobbit Day, and he wasn't the only one. If we go to the next one, we can see a Canadian university were taking a break from celebrating Eid. Mm-hmm. Eid Mubarak here at Western University, and... Well, what did they decide to do? They decided to celebrate Hobbit Day. How did they do that? By offending Islam. Let's go to the next one. They posted this image with a note about how the fact that it's Hobbit Day and homophobia bad and blah, 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 blah. Leftist rhetoric.
I see some issues in this image.
Really? What?
I don't know. How could anybody love a disabled person?
That's your issue?
Yeah, what else is there?
Right.
Everything else was pretty fine to me.
It's not what the Muslims saw. They instead saw the two hijabis on the left bottom there, which is that you've got two people in hijabs, obviously both women, not kissing because they're not actually touching, but presumably in love.
They're more just like rubbing noses against one another.
Doing a bit of an Eskimo kiss or something. Yeah. And this was the big no-no, of course. So let's go to the next link here because it went down super well with the local Muslims, who were very pleased and tolerant and opening. And they decided to go with here, as they say. They said that the post was inappropriate and disrespectful because the hijab, an Islamic veil, has religious and spiritual connotations. One person wrote, "Shame on you, Western, for such an insulting mockery of my religion." I was like, okay, right. So the two women existing and being gay, of course, that's the insulting mockery of the religion because they're wearing hijabs. No, it's not nothing to do with the jobs. Let's not be around the bush. It's got nothing to do with that. It's to do with the fact that they're both Muslim. If there were two Muslim men, you still have the same problem.
This is true, but obviously they will point to that as being a specific... That's how you tell that they're Muslim.
Yeah, I suppose so. I don't know what else we're going to do. Just draw Muhammad on their chest or something? No, that'd be worse. So,
get it tattooed on your forehead.
In response, school officials initially appeared to stand behind the poster. There we are. So the progressives, once again, running into this problem, this time in Canada, decided, we're going to stand by it. No, there should be women imams. Come on, guys. We can win this, guys. We swear.
Well, we all care about women's rights, right?
Mm. Right. They wrote, noting they understood, quote, how complex and intersectional this topic is. It's not. It's very not. Like 100% not for the Muslims in the conversation.
Nope.
Big Allahu Akbar, no, absolutely not reference intersectional ideology into Islam. It's not going to work at the slightest. What is important here is religious ideology. It is not some crossover point. It is instead, is it halal or haram? Is it permitted or not? And homosexuality in Islam. Can you tell me which one? You have a guess? Moderately accepted?
I don't know about that. But it is very... It's almost cute to me that the progressives don't get it yet. They're still trying to shove, lesbians and gay couples into Muslims' faces, and they just don't get it. This is not what they want. And honestly, at this point, I actually respect almost that the Muslim communities are more than happy to just go, no, this isn't what we want. Because they actually show some backbone in sticking to their religious ideals, unlike, say, the church over here does.
Anything in the Christian West does not.
No, they'll just bow down to it. You'll get American priests just saying, like, oh, we need to remember George Floyd Day.
Yeah, so the Chad Muslims, once again, just going like, no, even though I don't actually agree with them because I'm a liberal on this matter, but I just find it incredibly funny that every time a progressive interacts with Islam, they lose every time because, I don't know, either they're an idiot or they haven't thought this through. They say that the imagery may be upsetting to some Muslims, the progressives. Yeah, why is that? You want to actually say why it is? Because it's intersectional and complex? No. Because they're gay. It's as simple as that.
That sounds like an insult. Sounds like you're dugging us. Just totally gay, bro.
No, yeah, it's got nothing to do. This is not, you know, a point about intersectional logic, although obviously you were going for that as well. This is solely a point about, is homosexuality accepted in Islam? And the answer is a big old no. They say, but on Wednesday, a Western official who oversees equity, diversity, and inclusion, because of course that's a spokesman for this, issued a statement noting that the image had been removed. Allahu Akbar. I mean, just that's all
beauty.
It took. All it took is for the Muslims to say this is offensive to us, and the progressives yet again gone, lost that quickly. Islam 2, progressives 0. I'm looking forward to the tribe off.
Yep.
I mean, if it's best of three, they've already lost in entirety. There's also a stone toss meme in there somewhere. Just like, we stand for intersectionalism. It's like, but that's offensive to Islam. Delete that. Take it away. Yep. Get rid of it immediately. Quote, we believe this presents an opportunity for genuine, thoughtful discussion about how we can best support members of the queer Muslim community.
The queer Muslim community.
There's so many jokes about firemen with... No. and those of all faiths and backgrounds within the 2SLGBTQ+ community, said Upayo Olia, presumably the equity and diversity officer, who is...
Yep.
I'm just going to say a diversity hire.
I like that they've put the 2S in front, so now we know that on this hierarchy stack, it's the two spirits on top.
Yeah.
They come first.
The P's still to be added at some point. But the point there being that they're like, oh, yeah, well, this we've taken it down, so we have adhered to Sharia, which, interesting. However, we are still progressives, and we're not doing anything anti-progressive, because we're actually opening up a space for queer Muslims to have a conversation by deleting the image. That doesn't open up a space. That shuts down the space. You fool. You would have thought.
I mean, it starts a conversation about why it was deleted.
It certainly
why
does.
Why it is, but they don't really want to talk about that, do they?
No. Quote, in order to promote that discussion, we have removed the image. Right, think about it. I'm sorry I had to dwell on it, but it's just like, I can't get over how like non-thinking progressives are in their speeches they give, in which they openly just say, yes, we're facilitating a conversation by deleting our side of the conversation. Okay, then what's left? Well.
I will say, to be fair, we keep saying progressives with this, but I could easily see the Tories doing that over here as well.
That's
doing this
progressives.
Exact same thing. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you got me there.
I don't see Kemi Badenoch doing that.
No, I don't either. Maybe because she's like from areas where she's been in contact with these people and been like, no, they don't like that.
They
really don't like that.
Her background being from Nigeria, she's very familiar with Islam. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely sure. So they say they started a conversation by deleting their side of the conversation. For a post, it is not to distract from these important conversations. So there's an important conversation about, is being gay allowed in Islam? There's a pretty easy answer, which is the Islamic one. And then there's, frankly, as a liberal non-Muslim, this is obvious cope. The argument that you can be gay and a Muslim, like it doesn't make sense and you know it. And okay, there's that conversation happening in a box somewhere. And to facilitate that, we've deleted the progressive side.
I mean,
fantastic.
A lot of this from the progressive side could be considered cultural imperialism. We're trying to implement our cultural values onto non-Westerners who just don't want it. But isn't it interesting how they've gone, okay, we were in Afghanistan 20 years, tried it over there, it didn't work, they kicked us out the second they got the opportunity. I've got an even better idea. Let's bring them over here and try it again.
And funnily enough, didn't work.
No, it did not.
This is the thing. I mean, Carl said it, and it's certainly true, which is that the Muslims of the world see themselves in a civilizational term. They are from a different civilization than that of the West. And, well, they're correct.
Yeah. Fair play to them for actually being able to recognize reality.
Yeah. I also love that we're starting a conversation by deleting our side of the conversation. I mean, it's like saying we deleted Charlie Hebdo to facilitate a conversation about free speech.
I mean, it kind of...
You haven't thought that through, have you?
I mean, it does kind of line up with progressive values being completely contradictory, that being that you need to speak up on behalf of silenced voices, but also silences violence, but also don't speak over silenced voices because then you're not giving them the chance to speak. So none of this makes sense. None of it is supposed to make sense.
No, but it does make sense in the term of power politics, which is the Muslims have it and the progressives don't. And they're going to lose every time, it seems. One Muslim community leader, Imam Abdul Aftar Tawaki, beautiful Canadian name.
I don't think you pronounced any of that right, but fair.
Said the London Muslim community was drafting a response to the images, which he called inappropriate. Why? Name it. Come on, man. Stand by it.
I mean, you're lucky that he went only as far as this is a bit inappropriate, guys.
Yeah, just call it hate speech. Call it Islamophobic. Go for it. I mean, I don't agree with you in the slightest, but I want you to stand by your own opinions, at least, because then everyone's honest. Quote, we respect the human rights of everyone as protected under Ontario's Human Rights Bill, he said. No. He said, while we appreciate that the intent is to promote inclusion, the poster is doing the opposite, signalling a Muslim religious symbol in that setting is inappropriate. Why? Why is it singling out Muslims there? Because, of course, we're pointing out that there's a gay Muslim here, which, is a contradiction in terms, according to your own tenets, if nothing else. And you would have thought the progressives know that as well. The poster also sparked a petition demanding the school remove the depiction of the Muslim women. The petition had more than 2,000 signatures as of Wednesday morning. Quote, it should be made clear that this is not an attack on the LGBT plus community. An attack on gays. Not the alphabet. I'll give you that. And the existence of queer Muslims is acknowledged, the petition reads.
Acknowledged by who?
How? Tell me how exactly that makes any kind of sense. Again, just be honest. Just say, look, this isn't allowed in Islam. Don't be silly. Because I'm going to quote the Hadith to you in a minute as well. And instead they're hiding behind, oh yeah, we accept queer Muslims, just not when they're queer, I suppose. Or even just gay, as they say. Quote, what is portrayed is extremely disrespectful, insensitive, and completely imperceptive to the Muslim community at large. Again, why? Because two women in veils kissed. And if you take off the veils, well, then and they're still Muslims. That's still not acceptable under Islamic laws. Why? Because it's un-Islamic. It's a very simple premise. I dislike the Muslims in this debate here. We're trying to play into the progressive language, but I suppose that's how they keep their power.
They're trying to play politics, is what they're trying to do.
Just dislike it. Anyway, so we're going to go on to why it's disrespectful by quoting the Hadiths. Why not? Because Allahu Akbar. They say this is a beautiful...
You're trying to convert our viewers.
I don't think this is going to do much in the way of converting. I think it's going to do much in the way of showing people reality.
Fair play, yeah.
So here's one Hadith on homosexuality. The Prophet said, if you find anyone doing as Lot's people did, Lot being here a substitute for Sodom and Gomorrah, obviously being homosexuals, kill the one who does it and kill the one who it is done.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much room for debate. I guess it's not a well, you know, if you reinterpret it.
I would like to see Ash Sarkar's interpretation of this Hadith. I wonder how she would squirm with it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think she's a very good Muslim, according to the Muslims. So.
I don't think so either.
I also love, I just checked it before we start, which is this Hadith is in between two others, of course, and the other
all right,
two.
All right.
It's in between one, which mentions about a man who commits unlawful sex with his wife's slave woman. There's a prescribed punishment for that. Unlawful sex with his wife's slave woman.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And the other one is a punishment for unmarried male gays.
Wait, so a separate punishment for married gays and unmarried gays?
Yeah, for the unmarried gays, it's just kill it for the married gays, apparently. But for unmarried gays, far more tolerant. If a man who is not married is seized committing sodomy, he will be stoned to death. So I guess get married beforehand.
Yeah, be easier, be more simple.
There we have it. I mean, these are the hadiths on homosexuality, and yeah, it's not pretty, because this is the Islamic world. This is the Islamic text. And this is why I dislike the Muslims just being like, well, we support queer Muslims.
No, you don't. Like,
no, come on. Stop being silly.
Just be honest. Like, come on.
You don't have to play the game. We all know where this is going in regards to Islamic law. But there's also the obvious point, as you mentioned, which is that the Muslims are actually allowed to fight for the preservation of their culture. And you'll see that they are separate from Western culture here.
Well, it's because they've got such a marginalized culture. Nowhere in history has Muslims ever conquered parts of the world or taken slaves. Ignore the hadith about your slave woman or anything like that.
Or what they did in Africa.
Or what they did in Africa, or their invasions into the Europe or anything. No, just ignore that. They're just so marginalized.
You know how we would take slaves to the New World and well, they could have children still?
Oh, they couldn't in Islam.
No.
I mean, yep, how else are you going to stop them from touching all of your harem?
Yeah, anyway, so that's that. But it's just the obvious point that even the progressives treat the Muslim groups as something separate, which is an interesting self-report. And also the fact that they're allowed to preserve their culture, but no one else is, of course, because they're not part of the minority groups in here.
How much do you reckon it's because of just like a weird, exotic fetishization of this, ooh, interesting foreign culture?
I mean, 90%.
Yeah, then 10% fear.
I don't even think it's 10% fear. I think it's 10% you're our allies in the fight against the majority. Mm. And that's the other goal, of course. But I suppose there is some fear factor in there, but that comes after the revolution. There's also the fact that Muslims have the power to make progressives bend the knee, which...
I'm envious.
Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game. I must admit, that is just an interesting ability they have. But let's go forward, because we have, of course, the response to this from people online. So Western University were putting up something else. If you can scroll up in here, John, I can't remember what this one was. I think it was them being like, oh yeah, if you were committed to safety and well-being at the university for the well-being team, blah, 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 blah. And all of the responses they're getting are people just posting their own image at them that they deleted, of course, of the Muslim ladies kissing, just being like, you might want this back.
Yep.
Just make sure you got it. Let me return this photo to you, just in case. And if we go to the next one here, this is, we're going to go to the UK for a story here from Lives of TikTok, because there is more gender nonsense, because of course there is. And
that's quite a lot. Wait, how is androgynous a gender?
I don't know. So this is Libs of TikTok trying to buy a concert ticket in the UK. Wait. And she clicked on gender at the end there for your information. And there's a lot of options.
Why are the distinct categorizations for trans person and then trans and trans woman, trans male or trans man? What is the difference between these? Is this Photoshop? I can't believe that this is real.
You don't believe it?
I can't believe that this... No. You've checked it, have you?
Yeah.
Is it real?
Yeah.
God. Wait, so I'm sorry, just to go back to androgynous, does that mean that David Bowie, in and of himself, was a gender because he was androgynous?
I have no idea.
I'm Ziggy Stardust gender now. Thank you.
But for people listening, we have a female male, and prefer not to say. Usually where it ends. No, of course not. Then we have agender, androgyny, androgynous, bigender, female to male, FTM,
which just
fluids.
Means female to male, so it's listed twice again.
Gender non-conforming, gender questioning, gender variant, gender, and then everything else from Tumblr. I can't be bothered. It goes on for forever, for all the different types of possible nonsense. If we go to the next one
what
here.
What on earth is a neutroid? Sorry, I'm staring at this too much. I shouldn't try and make sense of it.
Yeah. Oh, there should be a link in there, John, if you can load that up. There are memes. We'll get to the memes in a second. But because I want to demonstrate that, yeah, this is genuinely the case. Because as you say, it's unbelievable. And I didn't believe it either.
Well, I mean, even if you're trying to be inclusive, there's just so much redundancy in this list. So many that are just saying the same thing twice, like female to male or FTM. There's literally the same thing. One is just an abbreviation of the other.
Yeah, and
what's the point?
Paste that.
Sorry, Karen.
But this is the website here, so you can see there are some random event here. This is just one. I think different ones have different lists. And if you scroll down, you can see the different kinds of tickets for whatever God awful event this is. And let's hit buy tickets for whatever the hell that is, the final release. Who cares? Let's just hit buy tickets and then
enter your card details for the audience.
Don't
if
do that.
You would, John.
Just scroll down here until we get to gender, and there you have it. Male, and then the others. The horde.
The barbarians at the gates.
Yeah, it is genuinely real. Transsexual man, transgender man, two-spirit, Transsexual person versus transsexual man and transsexual male.
What's the difference between a transsexual and a transsexual person? Is transsexual just in the abstract?
You're non-binary, so you don't think you're a man or a woman, even though you obviously are.
But transsexual is just the more accurate term for transgenderism that people used to be classified as up until like 2014.
No, I think transsexual and transgender are different things.
Like, no, they're the same.
I thought one is like I like wearing the clothes, and one is I want to chop it off.
Classical
transgenderism was much different.
Yeah, you need to understand what. Transvestite is cross-dresser. Transsexual is like transgender, just a different term for it. And then they went, oh no, this isn't inclusive enough, so we're going to need to change it to transgender. But now they're including it on the lists anyway, so what was the point of getting rid of it in the first? But
so there we have it. That's what buying tickets like is in the UK at this point. We're also infected with Yankee ideology. If we go to the next one here, we can see the meme itself, of course, being the phone you'd need to actually use the goddamn website, which is a big long one, if nothing else. And then we'll move forward again, because we're just going to see her responding here, at least Libs of TikTok being like, I'm very upset that they didn't include cake gender. I didn't know what the hell this was until I saw this.
But... I mean, I saw people... I've seen people identifying as the most accurate one for this whole thing, which is clown gender. I've seen people just identifying straight up as clowns, and it's like, well, it's nice to just finally get it out there, I suppose.
You can hear the music playing. Anyway,
yep.
We can hear that music playing in our heads as we play the next clip, which is cake gender.
Okay, I would describe xenogenders as a gender that could not typically be described with terms such as masculinity, femininity, neutrality, androgyny, things like that. It's more of not how you relate to a particular gendered experience, but more of how you relate to things. For example, cake gender. I know a few people who personally use this. It's typically described as them feeling light and fluffy or sweet and warm, and it's not something that you could typically describe with the terms masculine, feminine, androgynous, etc. Another example of cake gender would be if someone feels like they have different layers or flavors to their particular gender.
So I identify as an onion.
We queers are like onions.
We've got layers. So many layers.
Apparently feeling good is not gender and it's cake. So there you have it.
Emotions are now just separate, distinct genders. Yeah. Gender doesn't... I mean, I know gender's a nonsense term in the first place because sex is the only thing that really exists. I'm not going to try.
Being an ogre is gender and she's one of them. That's an interesting self-report. But then we'll just end this off with, of course, this isn't the most ridiculous thing in the UK. We also have the police who are just trotting about here. As you have, Superintendent dons rainbow helmet against hate crime on Hobbit Day. Oh, stunning and brave. Now I invite that superintendent to go to Tower Hamlets and and do your rounds there for a bit and report back what you find.
Do you know? I don't think he will.
We'll find out. Otherwise, that's Progressives versus Islam round two. Islam won that one, and when that superintendent goes to Tower Hamlets, I guess we'll see round three and how that one goes.
Well, all right.
I feel like I've just got a man in danger.
Is this your payback? I know I always do segments that make you miserable. Was that your payback, that bit at the end with cake gender? You're like, oh, this will really get Harry, won't it?
Did it work?
Yes.
Good.
Damn it. All right. Moving on to something much more sensible and something that I actually agree with. Peter Hitchens is not somebody that I typically agree with. In fact, I find him to be a bit of a, what would be the British term for it? Miserable old git.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a miserable old git. All of his writings tends to be just him moaning about things that he doesn't like. And to be fair...
He's our miserable old.
Yeah, that's the thing. To be fair, I agree with a lot of the things that he doesn't like being terrible. It's just the way that he puts it just comes across like my dad at the dinner table, you know? Less structured. But he is a good thinker for the most part and has come out with something that I actually do really agree with, which is the idea that perhaps we, as the English in England, should secede from the United Kingdom. Because what's it doing for us? They all seem to hate us. Scotland wants to go. Wales don't particularly like us currently. Screw it. Let's just leave them to it then. That's
I feel bad for the Northern Irish, but...
Yeah. Well, he said in an interview... well, I'll go through it later. But before we go any further, I'll just bring your attention to Hugo's old article from last year, Why the West Needs City-States, primarily because secession, as I understand it, should be a right that people have to do, which is that I don't like how you are governing me. Therefore, I'm just going and I'm just taking control of my own destiny. It is something that I think is quite important. And I think that England seceding from the UK could be a good start to getting back to city states as Hugo conceptualizes them.
In my head, I've just got the South has joined the chat.
Yep. Anyway. Well, actually, the North is trying to secede as well. And you know what? Manchester, Liverpool, good luck to you. Why not? But so, yeah, this is an article that Peter Hitchens published in the Daily Mail on the Mail Plus. And I thought I'd just go through it because whether you agree with it or not, he puts forward some interesting ideas here. And he's got some good points to go through. So let's go with it. Let's take a look, shall we? So what are we waiting for? All the other nations of the UK are set on tearing themselves away from England. I have given up trying to persuade them to stay. Let us leave them instead. Good start. Have a referendum if you must, but I reckon that any party that puts an English secession from the UK in its general election manifesto will win a smashing majority. Maybe.
Any major party, I presume.
Yes, any major party. Because obviously, you could just have the English Independence Party and they probably...
Well, there are the English Democrats. So I don't know if you're familiar with them.
But no, I'm not actually.
Yeah, so they've been campaigning for ages to basically be like, yeah, screw this. Although they have some strange ideas about how England should be governed afterwards, like we should make an English parliament somewhere.
We've already got one.
Yeah, you would have thought.
But, yeah.
But this is a policy debate that no one really cares about.
All right, so he carries on. You could not call this independence, since England has never depended on other countries in these islands. I would call it... Big dunk right there. Big dunk.
True, but
we don't normally... Normally, we're a bit more polite around that in these parts, okay?
Usually don't mention it, mate.
Yeah. I would call it the restoration of England, in recollection of that other great moment in our history when Oliver Cromwell's nightmare republican junta crumbled in 1660 and we returned with relief to our ancient laws and liberties. From a chosen day, England would once again be a sovereign nation in its own right instead of the country that lives in millions of hearts but is barely mentioned in official documents and is associated mainly in the minds of this world with football and cricket teams. And he's got a point, yeah, for any time you put anything to the on like websites or anything, it's always you have to choose the UK, and I'm just there like, I'd rather just put English, because that's what I am. I'm English. I'm not from the UK. I'm from England. It would be surprisingly easy, since so much of our government and law is already English, borrowed by others from us. No more would
Again,
we have...
another big dunk.
Yep. No more will we have to speak of our country abroad as the UK, a wary set of initials that denies 1,000 years of illustrious history and reduces them to a bureaucratic nothingness. And I agree, there is something beautifully traditional and patriotic about just being able to throw aside all of the bureaucracy and just be like, no, I'm English. Let me just write it down on here on all of your official documents.
Kingdom of England, not the United Kingdom.
Yes. We have the laws of England, our great founding documents, the Great Charter and the Bill of Rights are English. We have the literature of England, a possession beyond price. Did you ever hear anyone speak of British literature? We have a Queen of England.
Again, I just love how he just litanies with these little dunks in there. He's just like, yeah, English literature. It's not called British literature.
Well, it's also the question. It's also the question of, because you're going through here, we've got the Queen of England, we've got the Church of England, our government ministries are only operating in England. Stuff like that. It's just like, well, yeah, what have we got to lose? All the institutions are ours. If Scotland and Wales want to be independent anyway, they'll have to set up their own institutions if they don't have them already. So,
yeah, because as Carl points out, like the UK and the extension being the British Empire was an imperial project that is long since gone. It's over. And yeah. I feel terribly sad for the Northern Irish in all of this, because they're the only ones that, frankly, have like huge sympathy with in regards to, like, we don't want to be with Sinn Féin, please.
And, yeah, please don't abandon us to this.
Also, the Welsh I really like, but with the Scottish keep voting for the SNP, I'm just like, all right, something has to be done here.
Yeah, this is just messing with our elections, if anything else. The breakup of the BBC and the creation of a new English broadcasting corporation would be a superb opportunity for desperately needed reform. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm just there like, Peter, I'm with you so far, but the BBC, let's just get rid of it. Let's just get rid of it altogether. Something else will take its place. I mean, That's the
we
one
can't
the...
take it for walks anymore. It's pissing the beds. Let's just put it out.
Yeah, it's covered in rainbows everywhere. It's not even hiring English people anymore. For the love of God, just away with it. But it is true that it would be a good opportunity for reform. And I don't think my reform would be the same reform as Peter's, because Peter is still very left-wing on economics. And he would probably be like, oh, we need to nationalize this and that. And it's like, no, just leave it to the hands of the people.
I don't know if he's going to bring it up, but I also just love the point of like the SNP whining, Plaid Cymru whining, and Sinn Féin whining. And then we just go, bye.
Yeah,
and they're
goodbye
left with,
then.
They're all left in the UK looking at each other going, wait, hang on.
Wait, what now?
We were meant to get, you know, our moment of like, haha, the English, but the English are gone, so it's now haha on ourselves.
We're just sailing away with cocktails in hands like, good luck, guys.
Just building a fence. I can't cross this private property, I'm sorry.
Why not? To rebuild Hadrian's Wall, I say. We have a Queen of England. Oh, yeah, I went through that part. In fact, this would be part of the point. We have no need to set up an English parliament in some shed in Milton Keynes designed by one of those Blairite architects, all poles, points and projections with funny wooden bits glued on to relive the boredom. The parliament at Westminster is English already, since the days of Simon de Montfort, and has simply given hospitality to others during the long adventure of the Union. And that's a point I'll come to later, is that a lot of this is regarding the fact that basically for the most part this Union now is just giving charity to ungrateful countries, especially Scotland. We're basically subsidising quite a bit of Scotland, so it's like, why? What are we getting from you?
Yeah, but specifically the SNP, because that's the matter as well. The Blairite project to give them their own parliament has led to the SNP just screwing everything up they're given, which then means that the balance gets worse and worse, and now it just kind of looks like I want to just my brother used to have this chant when he'd play Xbox Live on Call of Duty, where he'd run into a northerner and he just start chanting, we pay your benefits, we pay your benefits. But to be honest, that's not true.
being from the north, there are quite a few people I've met who are a little bit scroungy.
That was 20 odd years ago, and the redistribution now, it's definitely the SNP. Like, whenever you hear an SNP
we
voice.
We pay for your heroin, we pay for your heroin.
Basically.
Yeah, by becoming wholly English again, it could recover much of its force and its purpose. Personally, I think the great years of our global power are thrilling and inspiring, and agree with the conclusion of the Spanish-American philosopher George Santayana on Britain's imperial era, that never since the days of heroic Greece has the world had such a sweet, just, boyish master. It will be a black day for the human race when scientific blackguards, churls and fanatics manage to supplant him. No doubt many wicked things were done by our empire, but compare it with the Soviet, Belgian, Spanish and Portuguese empires of the past, or with the hideous Chinese empire of the future.
And again, I love the bombs. I mean, just stop for a minute. But just like,
oh, yeah, of course.
We've done terrible things, but you can't name them. Whereas for the Soviet Union, more everybody knows.
It's pretty obvious. And this is coming from a former Trotskyite, so...
Yeah, but no one is deeply confused about what the Soviet Union did wrong throughout the years. No one is deeply confused about the Germans and what they
did
wrong.
We all know. All of the tankies have spent years trying to not actually cover it up or deny it, but make excuses for it. Because they know that they can't deny it. The documents are out there, the facts are out there, the footage is out there. It's obvious.
And with the Chinese Communist Party's Empire of the Future, like, we could already see the camps and the trains.
And
like,
what did we do? We stopped Indians burning their wives to death. Oh no! What terror! What harshness we put upon the world! And you might then concede that if there must be empires, and it looks very much as if this is so, because of course we are currently in the era of the American Empire, as far as I would consider it, ours was better by far than any that has ever existed. We have gained great things from it in experience and knowledge, as well as treasure. Many of our former subjects and their descendants still seek and choose to live there, and they are very welcome. Live here, and they're very welcome. But the empire is over, and we shall never again rule the waves or make great the powers of the earth tremble with the might of our navy. And I think that is something to take from this, which is that,
attitude.
No. As it stands at the moment, England will never be a great superpower in the global geopolitics as it stands right now. If anything, I think oftentimes, especially with Boris Johnson at the helm, we're just going out of our way to embarrass ourselves by trying to sort of posture as if we are some kind of great global superpower right now. So I say, take a step back, acknowledge what we are, and just get on with it.
I can agree with that sentiment, except from the part where you're saying we're embarrassing ourselves by saying we don't have this power. We got a lot of soft power. But
soft power.
But regardless of the debate, like, I am very much up for the Imperial Navy coming back, but not on the seas, instead in the big open world of the space. And that's
the wonderful place not yet corrupted by capitalism.
Yes, I'm very much a big fan of the UK Space Agency, and we should just start pushing money into that. And,
oh yeah, that's fine by me.
The kings of space.
But you know, when it comes to stuff like what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, at the end of the day, it's like, what are we gaining?
Who cares about your petty Earthling problems?
Yeah,
what? The British Empire is intergalactic now.
Yes, we're spreading tea throughout the cosmos. It's beautiful.
Anyway, my fantasies.
Yeah, yeah. Yet we are still unconquered for almost 1,000 years, sustained by an extraordinary civilization based upon trust and the thirst for justice. As Tennyson put, though we are not now that strength which in old days moved all earth and heaven, that which we are one equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. Look around Europe and see that those nations that are happiest, they are the small, compact ones which concentrate on their own business and contentment rather than stomping around the world pretending to be great powers when they long ago ceased to be so. They join alliances when it suits them to do. They rejoice in what they have, and we have much more than they do. So that's
a very compelling
argument.
It's
sounding pretty good to me so far. And then he just goes on about how he finds the word.
But also, I don't know if he's going to pick up on it, but
oh, yeah.
There's a great aspect of this in the heroic island story, which is to say that actually we're also the victims of the British Empire and therefore seceding from that in and of itself. And then we don't have to have any of that baggage. None of that nonsense applies to us anymore.
That is a good point, actually, yeah. Stepping aside from the past, acknowledging that it happened, but going, okay, this is what we are right now,
yeah,
gives us a sort of shield to be able to say, like, well, you can't hurt us anymore. Because the British establishment, as far as it goes politically, has for far, far too long just let the rest of the world stomp all over them and say, like, oh, you're racist, you're evil, look at what you did to our country.
Which is how you end up with rape gangs.
Yes, exactly. I'll just get to the end of this article and then move on a little bit. So, call me a little Englander if you want. The great marvel of this country was always that it was so small, yet came to dominate the whole world for an astonishing few decades. I would rather be jeered at for admitting our real size and our true limits than be like the frog in the fable, which tried to pull itself up to be bigger than the mighty ox and so exploded into fragments. It's a pretty good argument, if you ask me, so far. I'm liking the idea, and he expanded on this a little bit with an interview that he did with the BBC, I think, yesterday. And I'm not going to play any of it because I couldn't get the clips, but I'll just go over some of the things that he was asked. So he was saying, basically, you know, last time we were... Because the interviewer was just like, yeah, but when's the last time we were truly sovereign, though? And he was like, probably before the Union of Crowns, maybe before the Civil War, because Scotland got involved in it. But that what point does that have?
It's not relevant.
Completely historical question. I'm talking about the future. You know, for a conservative, it is important to look to the future and think, okay, because I see conservatism as two different things. There is the big C conservatism of, I just want the status quo to stay how it is right now. And then there's the philosophical conservatism where it's like, I care about my family, my community, my local area. I don't need to worry about the greater world that's out there. I want to be part of a community and live a good life.
The community in the local area doesn't just have to be your street as well. It can be the nation.
It can be the nation. But for too long, we've been worrying about everything else that's going on in the world.
The globe.
Yeah, we've been worried about the globe. We've been trying to be part of a global community. When most people, that's not their day-to-day lives. That's not what they experience when they go out in the street, like where I'm from in Cheshire. When you go out in the street and you see somebody you know and you just say hello to them, you have a little chat with them, you catch up. It's lovely. That's the sort of stuff that makes life worth life meaningful to me. Not knowing that, oh, we're off on the other side of the world trying to expropriate resources or something like back in the day.
But don't worry, we're bringing stability to Somalia.
Yes.
Don't you feel proud?
Oh, this affects me so much in my day-to-day life. I mean, why should I care? At the end of the day, it's like the Peter Thiel supporting the neo-reactionaries in America who are what Carl described as, what was it, postmodern neo-traditionalists. It's like, well, yeah, they just care about the people that they care about, their local community. Why should we be going across the world and trying to turn everything into a liberal democracy when other parts of the world so obviously don't want to be? I mean, what's the point? It's a losing battle. And he just goes on, he just talks about some stuff like being attached to England is about being appreciative of your land and heritage. He makes the point again about just let's be successful and peaceful like Denmark and others. Because just because we would be seceding from, for instance, Scotland and Wales, wouldn't mean we wouldn't be able to trade with them, wouldn't mean we wouldn't be able to get along with them. In fact, in all likelihood, we'd probably get along with them a hell of a lot more if there wasn't this constant battle of, oh, we want to be independent. It would cut that straight out. And somebody puts, somebody called in and was like, oh, are you exaggerating how much like countries like Scotland want to secede because they had the referendum up there and they were like, oh, we don't want to. But he makes the good point of, yeah, that was then and this is now. As time goes on, they're just going to get more and more fervent about potentially wanting to. But
why does the SNP still exist? I mean, I know there are a lot of Scots, and as you say, in technically a majority that don't vote for them, but they shouldn't exist as just a thing in the entirety at this point. Like, it's embarrassing to keep seeing them around. It's embarrassing to see them keep making, you know, massive strides in the Scottish Parliament and whatnot. Like, look, sorry, but it's painful to have to listen to that goddamn, what is it, Ian Blackfoot, whenever he gives a speech in Parliament. I don't want to hear it no more.
Yeah, just get it away. And one of the things that he brings up, which I think would be exceptional, was that the whole upheaval of the current order that we live in, if it did happen, and the reforms of the systems, means that it's unlikely that we'd get a traditional Tory government following it, and probably unlikely it would get a traditional Labour government. It might be an opportunity for actual upheaval of the political system as we understand it, at least in terms of the parties and their aims.
I love the idea that Peter's just like, I just want chaos.
I mean, would it be that much worse than what we're descending into right now?
Well, chaos is where opportunity lies.
Exactly, exactly. But check that out if you've got a BBC account or anything. It was quite interesting. But of course, it was quite controversial that he put this out in the first place. And you had Twitter accounts like the Third Reich, so we can tell exactly where the level of political discourse is going here, saying, yeah, England to leave the UK, hard borders everywhere. That's not what he said. B to the WTO, WHO, NATO, all of it. That's not a bad thing. Block up the Channel. Never said that. Close all ferries.
Also based.
Yeah. Close all ferries and ports and airports.
Based.
Never said that, but based. No one allowed in or out. I can think of a few we'd allow out. And flags compulsory on every inch of land.
Very based.
Yeah. You utter effing Burke Hitchens. Now see, Mr. Third Reich, if that is your real name, you've just sold this to me even more. And if you scroll down, because I think he carries on down here as well. He's just like, he's just saying that this is engaging. Oh yeah, move along to the next tweet that I got up here. And there are people who are just like, oh, you just want to return to the 1850s. You're a small-minded bigot who wants to return to the empire. No. The exact opposite. If you took the opportunity to read this, he's saying, we're not the empire anymore. We probably won't be the empire ever again. Let's just accept that and move on. Okay? And then there was a lot of arguments in this as well. And somebody pointed out, trying to say, like, we can't leave the Union. These other countries rely on us. That we're actually...
not my problem.
Yeah, that we're actually subsidizing the rest of the UK to an incredible degree. So click on the top right image there, just so I'll go back to the tweet because it's just easier to get it straight up there. Yeah, right here. So here's public spending as a percentage of GDP across the UK. As you can see, England itself
still ridiculously high.
It's still ridiculously high, but England itself is the lowest one there. Now let's see who's actually paying for all that. If we move to the next image along to the right, John. Oh, it's us.
Of course,
we're the ones paying for Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Wales. And I, once again, I understand the difficulties with Northern Ireland. They don't want to be under Sean Fenton or anything like that. But Peter, in the interview with BBC, he's even like, well, I understand that. I'm more than happy for people who want to live in England from Northern Ireland to come over here if that's what they desperately want. But we just don't want to be part of the UK. Fair play. And
I mean, we could just redo it as an overseas territory.
Yeah, we could do.
It could become a tax haven as well, in which case all the violence would stop.
Yeah, that was the point that he made, actually. He was like, well, you know, the Queen is sovereign over lots of random countries dotted around the world. I'm sure she wouldn't mind just taking Northern Ireland under her wing as well.
Yeah, but then having it as a tax haven, the Americans will stop funding all the terrorists. So, problem solved.
Hey, sorted. Let's move along to the next one. So people saying like, oh, no state live in a permanent paradise zone. We need to keep being the empire. We can't be like Belgium. Belgium's just a bunch of losers. And then Peter just responds to it and just points out like...
Belgium's not even a country.
Yeah, he's just like, since 1945, the UK has had its history made for it by others. What do you think happened in Suez in 1956?
Yeah, I mean, the Suez Crisis was not our doing. I don't understand that period either. Which was just like, the Americans told us we have to stop. And I'm just like, yeah, but why?
And we just did it anyway. We just did it anyway.
Like, so we had the French on our side. We had the Israelis on our side. Who's going to stop us?
America, apparently. Yeah. This is why we're part of the American Empire currently. And then, but the most based part of this whole thing that I found was when somebody asked him, what currency are we going to use then? Like, thinking they've got a gotcha. And he's just like, why not the gold sovereign? Divide it into 20 shillings, 12 pence each. Might do the trick.
And I went to a museum a couple of weeks ago and had to try and figure out how to pay a bill in a test card. I couldn't do it.
So, oh, you don't want to return to tradition on the currency?
Absolutely not. That thing was cancer.
Ah, well.
How many crowns are in a sovereign?
I don't know. As long as we're sticking...
No one knows.
As long as we're sticking to some kind of solid gold standard currency... I'm happy, man.
Yeah, as long as it divides in hundreds.
As long as it gets out of fiat, I'm more than happy. But yeah, so what do you think of Peter Hitchens' idea to secede from the UK as England? I'm quite partial to it myself, but I'm interested to see what other people think of it.
You know how many pence are in a pound?
How many pence are in a pound?
200 or something ridiculous. Like 204 as well. It's some weird number that doesn't make
sense.
Oh,
I thought you meant now.
No, in the old confused stupid system. Sorry, just hate it. Let's talk about dem-on-dem violence, because it's Friday. Let's have some fun. So, let's start off with a shill, of course. The ultimate leftist-on-leftist violence being the Cultural Revolution, for Mao, indeed, in which everyone was killing each other, for Mao. And leftists in the normal current day are, of course, still engaging in an old, timely tradition.
Still killing each other in the name of the same cause, with yeah. Minute differences.
So we go to the next one here. We have a representation, an artist's interpretation of basically all leftist discord, and I can fact check that as right as someone who goes and hangs out in the circle sometimes just to listen in, and it's cancer, if nothing else. I mean, it really
the
is
the anarcho-communists versus the anarcho-syndicalists versus the tankies versus the progressives.
And usually all those retards just fight each other, and, you know, you watch. But now we have elected retards fighting each other.
Oh, we've had that for a long time, my friend.
But now we have elected retards in the Dems fighting each other.
We've had that for a long time as well.
This time over who's going to rule New York City. So if we go to the next one, we have the fact that the Dems are apparently privately retiring to the midterms coming up as an extinction level event for the party. There's a direct quote from apparently one of the briefs they were all given. Which,
ooh, you're selling me on this already.
Yeah, so all the Democratic Congress people who are getting their things just be like, ah, crap. This ain't going to go. No, it's not, is it? So we go to the next one. We have their own chiefs of staff also releasing screenshots of their conversations with each other because they're all being kicked out. So this is a guy who was given the message that he's running in some new district that's been made and he wasn't told beforehand. So he messaged him just being like, thanks for the heads up. And he's like, you live in 16, right? No, he don't. So it's just all kinds of stupid. But we'll move to the next one here for the actual story to explain it, which is the messy Democrat on Democrat fight. Get your bets in, boys. Look at the monkeys with their knives. It's going to be fun. So this is over New York's congressional map explained by Vox. So we're not going to rely on Vox for the explanation, of course. We're going to have to go and have a look elsewhere as well. They say 2022 was already shaping up to be a really tough year for Democrats as they contended...
Because we can't stop supporting nonces for some reason.
It's because you're crap. Yeah. Why is it tough? Trump did this? No.
Why is it so hard for a Democrat to just go, okay, maybe we shouldn't be talking to kids about sex at all?
No, they pin the tail on the sacrificial lamb. They contend their unpopularity with Joe Biden's unpopularity. No. All of you are complicit. Let's not play that game. Inflation and historically bad odds for the party of an incumbent president in the midterms. So what did they decide to do? Become more popular? Stop nonsense kids? No.
Nope.
No, that wasn't the solution. They just wanted to redraw the maps. So they win.
Oh, back to gerrymandering.
Yeah, so remember that evil Republican thing that only the Republicans do?
Oh, I remember John Oliver was furious about it back in 2016.
It was the current year, and the Republicans were bad. So story.
They still are bad, according to mainstream news sources.
No, everyone engages in gerrymandering. Let's not piss about.
Yeah.
And the funniest examples being here. So the last thing they needed was a big internal fight to overshadow what they looked like what they looked like in their bright spots this year. The fact that
to overshadow what looked like one of their bright spots this year.
I can't read English. So basically, their bright spots I don't know who they think their bright spots are all fighting each other for their own existence in New York.
Maybe AOC.
That's their bright spot.
I mean, she's quite dull, but, you know, like, in comparison to the rest of them, like her for some reason.
On Friday, a state court is expected to finalize new congressional maps that, if adopted without changes from the draft version released earlier this week, would suddenly pit high-ranking Democrat incumbents against each other in the primaries. The version originally proposed by Democrats in the state's legislature largely avoided those primary fights and would likely have netted Democrats an additional 3 seats. Yeah, think about that. We're incredibly unpopular. We redraw the map. We gain 3 seats.
That sounds like democracy at work.
Sounds like illegal gerrymandering.
It really does.
Yeah.
But that sounds like democracy at work.
Which is why it was blocked by the courts for being illegal gerrymandering.
What a surprise.
We're really unpopular, but somehow we're gaining seats. Yeah, that's you fixing the system. Oh, sorry, I'm not allowed to say that, am I? Oh, no, in this election, this is okay, because it's not the holy one. Democrats seem to finally have figured out how to combat Republican advantages carved out through gerrymandering.
By gerrymandering back.
Yeah. Got you, boys. You were already doing it as well. Let's not play this nonsense game that, like, the Republicans invented gerrymandering in the last 5 years or something. No, it's an age-old thing both of you do. The practice of redrawing electoral districts for partisan advantage, and New York was to be exhibit A of that success. But the map Democrats signed off on was invalidated by the Court of Appeals.
Oops.
Oh no, Snookums. Why did that happen? It's because of illegal gerrymandering. Here we go to the next one. We can see Reuters reporting on this, because of course we can't rely on Vox's interpretation to be like, damn stupid courts.
But we can rely on Reuters.
Who actually at least give us the quotes from them.
Oh, okay, that's all right.
New York's highest court on Wednesday ruled that the new state's congressional map was unconstitutionally designed to favor Democrats. Yep. That was the point.
Yep.
That was entirely the point. And, well, they got caught by this court, so at least one of them out there is doing their job and completely stopped there. I don't know, I was about to call it an achievement, but is cheating an achievement?
Depends on if you get caught.
Yeah.
So they got caught, so not this time.
No, but if we go forward, we can see that this ain't new either for New York. I don't know if this is the right one here, John. I think the links might be in the wrong order. Yeah, this one is the first one here, being the fact that this is AOC's district. Remember, Republican gerrymandering did this somehow.
Is the bridge included in the district?
Yeah. Also, you see that little bit pointing out there where it takes some of the bridge, but then gives up and then goes back and then back into the sea to take another part of the bridge?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the toll booth attendant there votes Democrat? I don't know.
And this I don't know what you're on about. This just looks like a cohesive community to me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Friends and neighbors all. Mm. Or people likely to vote Dem.
Yeah, I think it's probably that one.
Yeah, it might be that one.
If we go forward, we have, I think this is Jerry Nadler's constituency.
Okay.
The guy who said that Antifa is a myth. His constituency has a lot in common with the waterfront there. And well, one part, what is that meant to be? I always forget the names because it's a foreign place. But I think it's Long Island. Then you've got some other parts of the south there, which, much in common.
This is
also
like,
the bridge. Also the bridge is part of it.
Every single time. This is like trying to divine images from when you're looking in the clouds. I think that's how they got these districts.
But that's the thing, they're like, yeah, well, did you know Republican gerrymandering's a big problem? Look at your own districts that you drew yourself previously.
Yeah, how did you get voted in?
And they were like, no, this needs to be fixed by gerrymandering it even harder. And then that got blocked by the courts for being even more ridiculous than this, apparently. If we go to the next one, we then have another district here. This is a plus 33 district, which again is perfectly drawn.
See, it almost makes sense.
Except that waterfront there.
Yeah, except then it just sort of goes like, nope.
For no reason, just into a densely occupied zone, okay. And then we have the next one, which is the plus 44 district as well, which again just takes part of Long Island for no goddamn reason.
All right, fair play.
Except the disenfranchised people, of course. And then we go back to the article here, because remember, the Republicans did this, we swear. Representative Carolyn Maloney, chair of the House Oversight Committee, and Representative Jerry Nadler, chair of the Judiciary Committee, have already said that they would face off in a newly created 12th district spanning Upper Manhattan. I don't know how much more spanning you need to do. Because remember, Nadler was the one that went through the bridge and over the side and...
Yep.
I don't know how much more
we need
spanning.
To build more bridges, boys.
Is it just going to be a straight line through the whole state?
What it's going to be is it's just going to be every single home that votes Democrat just dotted on. Just individually. There you go. This is my district.
Like the Bangladeshi border. You ever seen the double exclaves they have there?
No, I haven't actually.
Where it's like you've got Bangladesh within India, within Bangladesh, within India.
Like a Russian doll.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. I think they've now solved that problem, but the Dems are bringing it back. Both have been in office for nearly 3 decades. Nadler has objected to the draft map, saying that it defies state constitutional requirements of keeping communities of interest together and keeping the core's existing districts largely intact. Hang on a minute. Can we go back a couple? Back to Jerry Nadler's constituency. So let's, if we go backwards, please, because I forgot to put this in the right order. But we have the fact, remember you wanted to keep constituencies in common? As he says, the new map wouldn't do that. It wouldn't have the constitutional requirement to keep communities together. That's his district. How much do you think those have in common?
Well, not much.
I don't think so.
Not much.
The whole thing is
a joke. They all live in a rough line up until a certain point. Yeah. That might be it.
But anyway, all of these, none of them have anything in common. You can see they're just clearly partisan.
You couldn't get a very successful Mexican wave going along there, could you?
You could try.
That's how you should actually define constituencies and districts in that. If you can do a successful Mexican wave, there you go.
Anyway, let's move back to the article here, in which they say Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, I don't know why the Irish Institute's getting in here, the centrist head of the House Democrats, was quick to announce after the draft map was released that he would run in the 17th district, currently occupied by Representative Who Cares, a first-term black progressive. There we have it. The Irish will replace you, apparently, in this instance. But he's a dirty centrist, at least according to the Dems. He's going to replace the progressive. And this is where the monkey fight comes in. That you've got two Democrats just stabbing each other. Just be like, no, this is mine! And neither of you are going
to
win.
I'd love to see it.
That leaves Jones with the tough decision of whether or not to defend his seat or run in a new district, District 16, which now encompasses his home of White Plains against another representative who is also a black progressive. So they've literally, like, edged out the black progressives.
Wait, so you're telling me that New York has set the Irish against the blacks?
Yeah.
This is classic Dem tactics.
But the opportunity is either he fights the Irish caucus or the black progressives have to fight each other, and then there's even less black progressives
so
in
Dems
office.
So Dems encouraging black-on-black violence. My God.
That's the headline. No, but it's the fact that the centrist Dems, as they call themselves, are just exterminating the progressives here. At least that's how the progressives are wording
no,
it.
No, Democrats, don't become more moderate. Don't be more sensible. Let the crazies take over. Let nature run its course.
So what was the crazy progressives' response to this?
Screeching of some form of variety.
Yeah, basically. The draft redistricting map viciously targets historically black representation in New York. This tactic would make Jim Crow blush.
It's all racism, bro.
Does this guy know anything about Jim Crow? I mean, it's not about redistricting congressional maps by... It's just, no. It's about racial discrimination in areas where you're not allowed and allowed. But besides the buy, we have an attack ad from himself against the Dems, which is why I literally say Dem-on-Dem violence here. So if we go to the next one here, we can see that he has released...
So the Dems calling other Dems racist.
Yes, he has released attack ads against his own party for oppressing him by redistricting themselves. Let's play the clip.
Shirley Chisholm once said, if they deny you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. Well, in 2020, we brought our chairs, thousands of them, and elected the most black candidates to Congress in New York State history. So now they're trying to move the table, drawing a congressional map that robs us of power and takes a sledgehammer to black districts. It's enough to make Jim Crow blush. It's time to fight like Shirley Chisholm.
I mean, I'd love it if the Dems were taking a hammer to Black Lives Matter, but they're not. They're not in the slightest. Instead, they're letting them get away with their tax fraud.
Oh,
but
I love
how he's throughout that being like, they're doing this. You know, they are keeping. Oh,
he's been
down.
Watching Tucker Carlson. Oh, okay, I understand.
She's like, who's the they here?
It's your own party.
It's the Dems.
Yep.
So,
I thought like these sorts of attack ads were supposed to have like they're trying to take your vote away and so. It's going to make Jim Crow blush, you know.
Yes, yeah, I mean...
It's a bit low effort. Low energy.
Low energy.
You've not captured me.
I very much... I've forgotten his name now. Who's that guy? This is how forgettable the guy was. Jeb. There we are.
Jeb Bush.
And his brother who...
Everybody out there, please clap.
Totally doesn't regret the Iraq War. And but I also want to note on the fact that when you're making attack ads against your own party, I mean, things have gone wrong. So that's what I'm living for. If we go to the next one, we then have the Senate Majority Leader, a.k.a. Chief Todd Wrangler, Chuck Schumer, not being happy with this whole thing as well. And his quote is, I wish they'd drawn different maps. I don't approve of the damn maps. Okay. And they're not the only way that Dems are getting buried alive. They're also getting buried alive by just asking questions in public because they come off really stupid. So we get the next one here. This is a lady who is about to end this man's whole career, and I'm going to enjoy. And it's some Dem who's just like, yeah, but your bill would not allow abortions in these circumstances. And she has a beautiful answer. Let's play.
Is candidly and openly calling for a nationwide ban on all abortions with no exceptions for rape or incest. And if I've got that wrong, I would invite Ms. Foster to correct me. Do I have it wrong, yes or no?
If we added rape and incest exceptions, would you vote for it?
Okay, I reclaim my time, of course.
Bringing back the Ben Shapiro memes.
Yep, great answer.
That also just a fantastic answer. Just, would you vote for it there? No. Why are we having this debate there? What's the point? This is pointless.
So there's no compromise. It's either one way or the other. Okay, yep. I mean, it's been that way for a very, very long time with the Democrats. It's our way or the highway. So it's like, you got to play dirty.
That's his own words, as he puts it there. It's just like, I'm not even going to engage in this conversation. Well,
okay, you coward.
Then we're not going to talk, are we?
Okay.
It's very simple. There's also other Democrat disrespecters out there, of course. My favorite being Elon Musk, who decided to come out and be like, hey, yeah, I voted Dem in the past because they were mostly the party of kindness. Big doubt. But they have become the party of division and hate, so I can no longer support them and will vote Republican. Now watch their dirty tricks campaign against me unfold. Popcorn. It didn't take long.
No.
Let's go to the next one. Pretty much immediately. A SpaceX flight attendant said Elon Musk exposed himself and propositioned her for sex. Documents show. Okay. The company paid her $250,000 for her silence. It's Elon Musk. He would have paid more than that. But then the fact of just, do I believe this? Do I believe this in the slightest? Not really, given the very convenient timing. Elon Musk comes out as like, yeah, I'd probably vote Republican. And then it's just like, well, here come the smear pieces. Immediately. It's like clockwork. And if we go to the next one, we also have the fact that he's getting a kick out of this himself. He's just laughing at it, which is the energy I'm living for. Just like, you're going to accuse me of this? I don't care. I'm going to win. Finally, we get the use out of Elongate as a scandal name.
One of the things I've loved most about this whole Elon thing that's been going on is just how, I don't know, there's a positive energy that I'm getting from it. He's not being pessimistic. He's not being nihilistic. He's just having fun with it, which is what I like to see because we don't have enough of that currently anymore.
Absolutely. And if we go to the last one here, we just have him responding to the whole thing with being like, look at these attacks through a political lens. This is their standard despicable playbook, but nothing will deter me from fighting for a good future and for your right for free speech, which I just it's so obvious how this all goes. And it's with Elon Musk, it literally like clockwork apparently. That's it. That's the Dem on Dem monkey fight that's happening, which I'm very much in favor of, and I'm putting my money on the Dems for winning. Because someone's going to win there. But if they keep exterminating each other, just as I said, leftists with leftists and leftists and leftists with guns all pointed at each other. It's beautiful. Go to video comments.
I'd like to break down the fallacy that Australia is a right-wing, in the media and controlled by a right-wing government. This is how the media perceives them. You guys can break it down. And this is the reality when compared to the United States.
Pretty much the same over here as well.
Yeah, seems the Anglo countries all have this problem in common.
Yeah, I've been listening to Paul Gottfried's books on fascism and anti-fascism, and he talks about it in reference to Germany, but I think it is something that we're inflicted with over here, which is that he says that because of the history and because of their past, Germany basically, whether or not the parties say that they're right-wing or not, doesn't actually allow any actual right-wing politics in there because they're too afraid it'll be associated with Nazis. And because we in the West have allowed ourselves to associate Nazism with basically anything and everything related to masculinity, whiteness, bloody, bloody, blah, anything like that, we basically don't allow much actual right-wing politics. That's why people like your favorite French guy,
Eric Zemmour.
Yeah, that's why Zemmour is such a shock to the system because he's a pretty traditional actual right-winger. And that's why people are just so unused to seeing it. Because for the past who knows how long, we've not actually had right-wingers in politics.
I still can't go over his interview. He's like, you've managed to make anti-Semites support you and you're Jewish. And he goes, I make a synthesis. it's obvious nonsense, you stupid journo, go to hell. But it's weird because when we met the AFD, like I was expecting, I mean, I did have a bit of a just like, well, I imagine these guys are going to be right-wingers. I'm going to disagree with them a lot of stuff. We didn't. We ran into everywhere, like me and John, I went there and can confirm. Like every MP we met, every activist were just liberals. Like just traditional liberals.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well, okay.
That's enough to get you smeared as a Nazi nowadays in certain parts of the world, sadly.
That's enough to get your houses raided.
Oh, shit.
Because they were, they've been under like secret surveillance by the state constantly. It's horrible.
I mean, do you remember the article that you and Carl covered last year about the German bloody pedo experiments that had been going on? And even in the New Yorker, where it was published, the article was like, and then the evil AfD swept in to try and take advantage of the situation politically by trying to, and then it just like lists what they did, and it's basically by trying to get justice for the victims. How evil, how Nazi-like of them, wanting to get justice for paedophile victims.
Yeah, next one.
In his series Civilization, Kenneth Clark ponders the thinkers of the Enlightenment and the art depicting them. Their paintings and sculptures show a gentle smile that Clark calls the smile of reason. What a contrast to today, where we are confronted with grimacing and gurning want-to-be intelligentsia and cognoscenti, whose faces are adorned by what can only be described as the manure-eating grin of smug self-satisfaction and overconfident ignorance.
That's a very interesting point. You can definitely see it in Margaret Atwood. It's just like, yeah, you should be able to just kill anything that doesn't have a soul. Also, you don't have souls. It's like, okay. Right. That really is a ass-eating grin, as you say. Here's the next one.
So Callum, what I was trying to say though was that you probably should give The Handmaid's Tale a watch, especially since you're able to watch North Korean propaganda, because it definitely has that feel to it. However, there are things that are kind of underneath all that you can kind of see that they're almost there in getting certain things right. And there's also some confessions underneath it too that kind of feel like that way, but you should probably watch it.
Yeah, maybe. It might be a fun evening to watch the TV series. I'm not reading it, for sure, because of me. But in regards to the North Korean propaganda, I imagine it will be very similar in the ridiculous nature. So, should be good.
Yeah.
The next one.
Hey guys, thank you so much for editing the music out of my video. I did not even think about that until you mentioned that you can't use copyrighted music, and then I remembered you said that in the past. So yeah, if you want to see the whole thing, it's available on my Rumble. Also, my Etsy shop has been updated, so international shipping is an option if you guys want to order some knives. I just put up one that's a classic Viking sax with some wrought iron fittings, brass all along the sheath. So if you like the Northmen as much as I did, go take a look.
There you go. Well, that's actually really cool. I didn't know we have a knife merchant in the chat.
Yeah,
I'm
going to have to check that out, actually, because I do want some cool knives. And I did enjoy the Northmen quite a lot, to the point where Josh and I relatively soon might be doing a video on that. Not politics of or anything, but possibly the mythology of, because it'd be really cool.
Yeah, next one.
If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. Because of this, I think we have a moral obligation to think ahead and try to predict the worst possible outcome. When I designed furniture, I had to think, okay, if a child climbs on this, how do I design it so that it won't fall over and crush them? We have to do the same with politics. What's the worst possible thing that could happen? What's the worst possible inclination a politician can have? Well, it would be to just straight up murder everyone who disagrees with him.
Yeah, that is definitely a good rule.
That's why you should never trust politicians.
Yeah, but it's a good rule to retard-proof basically everything, including politics, from people who turn up and just go, what if we kill everyone? It's like, yes, okay, thank you, left winger. That's new. Everyone's had that idea before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, but I repackaged it in more.
What if we try killing all the poor?
They don't even do that. They just
will that balance the budget.
Yeah, I mean that's you know the Mitchell and Webb sketch. But seriously, like every especially foreign left wing ideology I seem to come across, and Carl's got the same thing. Now, there'll be some repackaged nonsense of just what if we just kill everyone who disagrees with us? Oh, amazing!
Brilliant idea
you ever heard. I mean, I can't get over how it was in Rousseau's writings as well. He's just like, yeah, but what if we just kill everyone who disagrees? And it's like,
I mean, they are outside of the general will.
Great, fantastic. Big brain man. Let's go to the next one.
Bring back the wanking pass. Do you remember that?
No.
Theresa May proposed the wank pass.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, I need to see your hands. Okay, come on.
Close the door.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Wank pass.
Okay, why are you like that?
Wank pass.
I was literally in the middle of something.
Blank pass?
Like what?
You can put your hands down. What's going on?
I was masturbating.
Oh, could you imagine? Oh, it's caught on camera as well.
Yeah, on his Ring doorbell. He uploaded that then, surely.
I suppose it good for the memes.
Yeah, but also, why is the female police officer just being like,
show me your hands.
Well, why is that? Come on.
Is that glue on your hands?
Like, he's smiling, embarrassed, and you're just like, why do you keep asking? You know, like, stop it.
Yeah, come on, just leave the poor guy alone.
Let's get the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines from Cat Country 107.3 comes the story of South Jersey's mystery spot located in Double Trouble National Park. Yes, that's the name of one of our national parks. It's an area where there's a bunch of trees down. They say it may be a UFO and that cameras won't work. Compasses will go to berserk. And if you zoom out on Google Maps, you can see it makes a strange pattern of trees.
I really thought you were going to say it's obviously the Jersey Devil at the end there.
If you squint a little, you can see it.
It looks like nothing. I have no idea what that's meant to be.
I don't know. It looks like a sirloin steak.
So you think that the steak supremacists did this?
Yes.
Okay. That's better excuses than any. I can't remember how you say the name. It's like the Tujushka event or whatever in Russia.
It's nope.
Probably the most similar thing that's naturally made. So there's a bunch of trees in the middle that have all just been stripped and just burned. And like for a mile around, every tree in a mile radius is just completely flattened.
Okay.
And then it's just like, riddle me that. Like, how did that happen? And there's like random people in the middle of Siberia who reported there was basically just big fireball that set everything on fire and a huge bang. And
I guess it was aliens, bro.
Yeah, it's most likely just a meteorite that I burnt up. But,
yeah, potentially.
But it's the weirdest thing in history.
It's still an interesting sort of tidbit, isn't it?
Yeah. Someone's put it in the chat, the name of Tugunska. Who cares? Stupid Russian language.
Don't expect Callum to be able to read Russian. He can't even read English.
Comments. So Andrew Narok says, I just wanted to say, I love the choice of segments today and their coverage so far. Brilliant job by the Lotus Ears once again. Well, thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
On to Islam. Baron von Vorhawk says, the reason why the leftists always lose to Islam is that the main weapon of the left is emotion. They use emotion attacks to pluck at central sore spots in their opponents. Their enemies are too busy defending their reputation rather than fighting. The Muslims, however, are not part of this culture. Do not care what names you call them. So the leftists then lose their main weapon and have nothing to fight with because they never need another weapon until well. It's like, did you know that your reputation's bad?
I mean,
I'm internationally known for blowing stuff up, mate.
Yeah, come on, man. Do you know what I've got on under this vest? Just give it a guess. Go on.
I don't know what religion has a worse reputation globally than Islam at this point. I mean, maybe Scientology for being cringe. I don't know.
I mean, it does tie into what Zuby was talking about yesterday when he's just saying that this is all motivated by pure cowardice. If there's one thing you can at least, you know, credit the Muslims for, they're relatively brave on the world stage for just not caring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's pretty awesome.
It takes some bravery to blow yourself up, I suppose.
So M1 Pink says progressives are so sold on the religion of peace narrative that they probably wouldn't see a problem with having a draw George Floyd as Muhammad Day. God.
I want to do it. I want to see the consequences.
I'm imagining that being a 4chan prank right now. Like, that's going to end up being a thing.
Oh, I could see that. Oh, yeah.
Omar Avad says that the progressives, when they find out one of their pet minorities isn't a docile purse puppy, that will follow wherever their current intersectional insanity takes their fancy. Surprise, Pikachu face. Yeah.
Yep.
Just, why will you not agree to my nonsense? Because it's nonsense. Go to hell. Allahu Akbar. What do you think I was going to say? Ross Diggle says, you have purchased a ticket with the Ticketmaster. Now enter your mental health issues, basically. Captain Charlie the Beagle says, ah, yes, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Afghanistan. True bastions of LGBTism. Yep. They are.
And if you're a retarded leftist who doesn't actually know anything about the world, I suppose.
Just let them think it.
Oh, yep. Okay, just carry on believing. You know, go in your rainbow flags. Take a holiday over there.
I think it was the guy who does Phone Jacker. He did a new show called Face Jacker. I think it's him. Where him and a guy dressed up in like this ridiculous outfits, you know, like leather straps and like clearly very gay holding hands.
Kink pride sort of stuff.
Yeah, and then they went to the Iranian embassy being like, oh, we'd like to get a tourist visa. and the security guard just wouldn't let them in. He was like, mate, they'll kill you. Based Ape says, I bet that they are asking for all these genders on that ticket so they can eventually start applying discounts to certain categories based on equity. Mate, way ahead of you. We featured them previously. They already did it. If you were transgender, you had to pay like £10. If you're white, it was 90 for one concert. That's the same ticket organization there. So It's already happened. Can't wait for the infighting to begin. They'll all start arguing which group deserves higher discounts. Well, they just decided that men can go hell. Well, white men, specifically. General Hai Ping says, "Sorry, Harry, this is the reality of trying to fill in a simple form in the UK. I was helping a friend apply for a charity shop job with the Salvation Army, and the options were just ridiculous. The Salvation Army, the traditionally Christian organization."
Well, that's true. I did cover months and months ago now, the Salvation Army had internal documents leaked that were just like, oh, you must remember about internalized racism. You must remember the oppression that the Christian people have put on the rest of the world throughout the years. So you must feel really sorry about it while you work your volunteer Christian charity job.
I'm imagining them actually saying that to the Christian homeless man who's just walked in. Yeah. Like, you must remember the oppression you have caused, that you are putting this whole society down with your existence. Like, bro, can I just get some food?
Can I get some soup, please?
So Robert Longshore says, "Why do I need to tell a ticket seller my gender? Are they planning to treat me differently based on gender expression?" Chad, yes, they are, in their opinion. Seriously, that happened before. Otherwise, let's move on to, I don't know, we need a phrase, like, you know, Deus Vult, something like that, for the English secession. Cry God, Harry? No,
We'll come back to that.
But Crispian.
Yeah. We'll come back to that later. Freewill 2112 says, "Move the political capital back to Winchester." Yeah.
I think reclaim London. It needs to be done. Yeah. I don't think we could just accept giving it up.
I don't know. At some point, you've got to recognize a lost cause. I don't see how you're going to be able to reclaim London without just actively deporting people, like, forcefully, which will lead to conflict on the streets.
Look, as long as you don't have to do any of that, as long as the money isn't there to be paying for the mercenaries, then the mercenaries won't stay.
That's true, yeah. I suppose dismantling the welfare state. Sadly, Peter Hitchens, for all of his... No, John, no. For all of the good things about Peter Hitchens, he is a big fan of the welfare state, so... I don't think that he would be okay with that. But yes, if we were to just scrap the welfare state altogether, I think that would, within a few years...
Stop paying mercenaries, and mercenaries will leave.
It would solve a lot of things. Or we could flood the streets of London with pork.
That's a waste of good pork.
Not if it gets rid of them.
No.
No, that's my pork, Harry.
No, we need the Muslims to help us with the progressives. What are you doing?
Oh, that's true. Sam Fletcher, "As much as I agree with the we did nothing wrong, whenever I bring up the overall positive benefits of the empire, invariably I come to the whole Britain did potato famine and the troubles. And honestly, I'm getting really tired of explaining it. Maybe a topic for a premium podcast." Be interesting. I've not really read that much into the potato famine or the troubles, so it'd be interesting to actually read up and expand my knowledge on it. Freewill 2112 says, "We are not a weak nation. We are still in the top 10 military powers. Better to be strong than weak. Weakness is provocation. We don't have to posture around the world, but we do need to be able to defend ourselves, or we will be the subject of the whims of other nations. If Scotland becomes independent and joins the EU, they will not be calling the shots." That is true. Obviously, with all the secession, I'm not suggesting that we just disband all of our defences or anything like that. It's just like, why do we need to be tied to these other countries, one of whom explicitly hates us?
Well, keeps telling us so.
Yeah, exactly. The people that they keep voting for explicitly hate us and are very happy to come into our parliament and say so.
It would be happy enough just to be like, okay, we're seceding, like England's seceding, but we're taking Wales and Northern Ireland with us.
Yeah, if they want it.
The United Kingdom just becomes Scotland. And that's it.
the one tiny bit of Britain. Okay.
That's the UK, whereas England is the rest of it. We're just like, bye.
Yeah. Well, as long as Wales are happy to just start calling themselves England.
Yeah, we'll let them call themselves Welsh, but we're just, you know, not officially because of the meme.
Yeah, true.
They've got good bands. They'll get along with it.
Yeah. Captain Charlie the Beagle says, "Regarding the English secession movement, I, for one, think it's a great idea on the condition that future monarchs adopt Anglo-Saxon names. Harry, for example, should be referred to as Aetherid the Unready." I don't know why.
Aetherid the Unready.
Oh my god, you corrected me on for once. I don't know where the Unready comes from, but, you know, I'll take it if I get to be king. I'll just leave everyone alone.
No, you're going to end up dead.
No, it's the best job. No, I'll do the best job a king has ever done, which is to sit back and just go, get on with it.
Okay.
Sorted.
Polish king.
Yeah, so Dave North on English secession. "I've been saying that England subsidises the UK for years. Nobody believes me. After Scotland voted to stay in the UK in the once-in-a-lifetime vote, I wanted to vote to see if we even want to keep them in the UK. I do not. Mewing over the North Sea oil and whiskey is no good. Scotland wouldn't have forces to stop us. Their fields are on the UK continental shelf, and alcohol they can keep."
I just thought the North Sea oil and whiskey. Like, there's North Sea whiskey. Like, it's out there and we're mining
it. We found it. We finally found it. That's what all the oil rigs are really finding.
It's all a front.
It just bursts out into the sky. Everyone just opens their mouths.
Quickly, hide it, hide it.
Yeah. General Hai Ping, Harry, you know where I'm from, Cheshire. We see each other in the street and exchange chips and gravy analogies, and we just get on with our day, pastry included. Yes. Based and Cheshire pilled. Yes, that's exactly how it goes.
Cheshire in my head really is just a meme country.
It's a lovely county. You should come up there sometime.
Everyone walks around like North FC men with the North FC wives, past the betting shops and the Greggs.
Mate, you have literally just described crew. That's what you've just described right there. You go to one of the bars on the corner every Friday night. You've got North FC in force watching the football or playing darts or something like that after they've come down from Betfred or something. It's glorious. Honestly, God's country. Baron von... It's great.
One version of England.
Yes. Baron von Warhawk, notice how Third Reich views putting UK flag everywhere as a bad thing. Yeah, that's a good point. But he wants you to remain in the UK. He hates his country, but wants it to remain because he knows deep down England is being held down by the Scottish Welsh leeches, and he loves seeing the English humiliated. Yeah, sadly, we do have a big contingent of English people in the country who really hate being English.
I didn't pick up on the irony there, of course. It's just like, you're going to secede to England and put UK flags everywhere. Why would Peter do that?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we put the George Cross everywhere. Thank you very much.
Any sense?
Yep. Omar Awad, England can't secede from the Union because if we did and went to war against the remainder of the UK, we'd have to conquer them and ended up with them as part of our territories anyway. It'd just be the UK again with extra steps. Edit, on the other hand, the no true Scotsman fallacy would need a name change. Haha. I don't think we would go to war with them. I mean...
They'd go into debt and we'd have to bail them out again. But this time we'd write in the clause just being like, no Leavies, no Bagsies, go to hell, shut up.
Well, I don't
vote Tory or something like that.
I don't see the point of bailing them out again. If they're going to fail, they just have to have a massive system reform up there.
So after the referendum, because you know the whole manifesto from what was Alex Salmond was based on basically the North Sea oil, or just pay for everything. Trust me, bro.
Yeah.
And then the referendum happened and they voted no. And then there was that crisis in which the oil price just like plummeted, and they would have been bankrupt immediately if they'd gone independent. And what would have happened is obviously we would have to buy them,
mm-hmm.
do it again. Which, to be honest, he's making a good point, though, that if we do secede and then like everything goes messed up, I'm like, God damn it, and then retake the territories. But just, that's, to be honest, I'm fine with that. As long as we reword stuff, just being like, look, no more. You clearly can't govern. Like,
yep. Well, once again, I think just leave them to it. If it collapses, it collapses. And they as a culture have to reform themselves to be, you know, productive and useful.
You're just going to be on Hadrian's Wall with a rifle.
Yeah, I'll be there manning it myself. Andrew Narog, if the English secession happens, you need to restate your liberties to claim some that were left out of the Magna Carta. Examples, free speech, gun rights, etc. Godspeed. Thankfully, we do have those in the Bill of Rights already, as long as you're not Catholic. So, go back to the Bill of Rights. Sounds all right to me. Jonah Lord, secede from the Union and build a big, beautiful wall. Kingdom of England and an English constitution. Yes. Lord Nerevar, England at the very least needs its own devolved parliament. This pandemic showed that the Laws in England Act does not work. Correct. And Jonah Lord again says, by St. George is my vote for a Deus Vult escapement for English sovereignty. Correct.
I kind of want to pay Peter Hitchens to do voice lines for every one of the English speeches in Medieval Total War 2 now.
He does have the voice for it, doesn't he?
Well, did you ever play Medieval Total War 2?
No.
Well, there's so when you start the battle, like your leader will give a speech. And in Medieval Total War 2, they're really funny because they're really crass. Where it's just like, those are a bunch of bum lickers. Like, you know, stuff like that.
If we can pay Peter Hitchens to read stuff like that, brilliant.
It would be a really good mod. Anyway, on Dem Violence, Omar Wad says, Dem Inc. board meeting. So, how can we get back our popularity? Dem employee number one, manufacture controversy over abortion. Employee number two, manufacture currency to deflate its value. And number three, manufacture votes to fortify our win. Voter before being thrown out of the window. How about stop ruining America? Well, thrown out the window, isn't it? So, Rose... G... I can't remember the rest of that.
Rose Ganella.
How do you say that?
It's not that hard.
Ganella.
That's how I'm pronouncing it. That's and if no I'm Rose. Wrong, sucks to be you.
Just because you've got easy names. Some of us struggle.
Oh, I'm sorry. Durr.
Yeah, I mean, literally. So Rose says, elongate, I love it. How will he be the elongated man? Oh, God. Kevin M. says, I'm amazed Elon Musk was still voting Democrat in spite of them literally wanting to tax all of his money away, i.e. Pocahontas.
With that, I get the feeling that Elon Musk is somebody who's only just recently woken up to a lot of this stuff that's been going on. Obviously, he's been hard on climate change and stuff like that for a while, but in terms of the actual politics surrounding it, I feel like he's only just sort of going, hold up a tick.
Well, I don't think he's had to really worry about it. And then becoming the prominent position he's in with SpaceX and whatnot, he's become more and more aware because these people are trying to make him part of them. And he's like, no, you're retarded. I don't want to be part of that.
Yeah, I'm honestly excited to see Elon in a few years, a few more red pills down, and see what's going on with him.
Just him and Andrew Tauber are going to be shaking hands.
No, maybe you'll reconnect with Peter Thiel and be like, so this Curtis Yarvin guy you mentioned.
Let's do a podcast. To be honest, that'd be hilarious. Baron von Warhawk says, an extinction-level event for the Democratic Party. I don't believe it. I smell fortification shenanigans in the midterms. Already the government is buying vaccines for the monkey flu. I sense more mail-in votes in November. Yeah, I am. I think it's good to mention, though, the fact that they're calling it an extinction-level event, because it will be very informative about the results, won't it?
Mm.
Because if that's what they were expecting and then it doesn't happen, it's like, well, let's get the CCTV footage then before you delete it. Tristan Armstrong says, re-gerrymandering. Does attempted election rigging carry any kind of consequences for the people who get caught doing it? Or does the court just give them a stern finger wag and tell them not to do this again? In regards to the gerrymandering, apparently a stern finger wag. I mean, they really should just fine them like $100 billion. Why not? Bankrupt the pie. I mean, to be honest, they got more money than that. They'll pay it off. But it's just a way of getting stopped doing that.
Yeah, I suppose like if it's enough to bankrupt basically anybody except a political party, it's at least a stern warning.
They haven't done anything, though, so it's a shame. So Chipotle Aristotle says, for as much crap as people give the GOP, at least they're honest in their primaries. Every time you hear a story about a party screwing over its own representative and candidates or superdelegates or other primary shenanigans, it's always from the DNC. Democrats talk about mass extinction events sounds like an admission of an intra-party purge. I mean, I am hoping for it and living for it. And I also love the fact that they're just sitting around me like, everything's going to go wrong, so let's just rig it. I mean, literally, they were caught in court doing that. So we've rewrote the districts so that we win, even though we're more unpopular. Like, you know you're going to get caught, surely. I mean, I guess that's just how confident they are about the whole matter. Yeah. So, Ross Diggle says, not a sex, it's a handguard. Wait, what? I don't know what that's a relation to. Just going through the written comments I can find on the website now. So, Joan Lord says, by St. George, is my vote for Deus Vault esque statement for English sovereignty. Well, I suppose that shall be the chant of the English secessionists.
Mm-hmm.
Just Deus Vault, Deus Vault. Afro the Beta says, in the aftermath of 9/11.
I think Jonah was saying that by St. George should be the new chant.
By St. George.
Yes, by St. George.
Okay.
By St. George.
Yeah, okay, not bad. Not bad.
It's not as catchy as it could be, though.
Well, look, yeah, it's, you know, what's in a name?
It's
what you do with it. I mean, who would shop at Boots for medicine?
You've got a good point. That is a stupid name.
Alfred the Beta says, in the aftermath of 9/11, Bill Maher was cancelled and lost his TV show Politically Incorrect for stating that the suicide bombers were brave. Harry, you're on notice.
Oh, no.
I suppose they were, but not in a great way.
No. I think objectively, we can recognise that, yeah, it takes some kind of at least bravery or stupidity to be able to go, yeah, I'm going to blow myself up today when you wake up in the morning. That's not morally casting judgment on it one way or the other. It's still terrible.
Is it actually brave, though? Because if you genuinely believe that you are going to go to paradise after this, and as Muhammad says, get 72 of the purest virgins, God himself will intercede on behalf of 70 of your relatives or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Well, if you genuinely believe that, you're not really doing a brave thing. You're kind of doing yourself a favor.
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose just as somebody who doesn't follow a particular faith, I'm looking at it from the outside in and not really understanding it in the same way that they are.
Because they're not dying as well. Like, they're going to paradise, so they're not even losing. So, anyway, I think Bill Maher might actually be wrong on that one. But Rose says, elongates, love it, he'll help you be the elongated man. I'm sorry, I already read that one. Socialists attacking and killing other socialists is to be expected. Also, reminder from the retards, Hitler was not a socialist because he killed other socialists. Doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. You know, he just went on and on and on constantly about how he was a socialist. Just for German people.
But no, it's the argument you hear from the retards, which is like, yeah, he killed socialists, so he's not one. It's like, dude, all you people do is kill each other.
Who are the Menshevists?
But also just the Shia Muslims and the Sunni Muslims. Neither of them are Muslims because they kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
Rightio.
All right.
Well, also by this logic, Stalin was not a commie, Mao and everyone else were not socialists as well, to which, in all of this, I disagree. They were all socialists and were just removing their opposition any way they know how.
Would it also mean that Lincoln wasn't American because he went to war with America?
Yes. Although I think the Southerners may have an opinion on that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're basically out of time, so we're going to end it there. But if you want more from us, lotuseaters.com, of course. Otherwise, we'll be back Monday.
Yes.
I forget every Friday, I swear. Monday, 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye. I'm an idiot.